Hey everyone, I'm Allie.
And I'm Andy.
And welcome back to another episode of your favorite book club and media podcast, Marianne and Wanda. And we are thrilled to be here today with you guys.
Tonight, actually.
Well, I mean, it depends on when you listen to it, I guess. Well,
yeah, we're recording at night. It's like super rainy and dreary here all day. It started downpouring right in the middle of one of my meetings, and I was afraid that I was going to lose connection in my very important meeting, but it was okay. But it was raining so hard that I couldn't see the barn outside the window.
Oh, wow. That is hard.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, yeah, today started off raining pretty hard, but it's cleared up since then, so.
Mm-hmm. Our tanks went up quite a bit.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. They are between halfway full and two-thirds full now. And I heard that the groundhog did not see his shadow, which means spring is coming early.
That was last week, right?
I don't know, in the past few days. I don't know.
I'm only hung up on this because I feel like I'm losing my mind now. February 2nd. Okay, so like 10 days ago.
Okay, well, I didn't mention it.
Yeah, well, it's wild though that we have a groundhog that we like forcibly remove from his hibernation on the same day every year and say, please tell us what's going to happen.
I saw something about how the groundhog got away from the handler or something like that. And I was like, how is this groundhog communicating whether or not he sees a shadow?
Doesn't he just like get taken out and then depending on how quickly he like goes back into his little hutch or whatever?
I don't know. I didn't know if like it was like everybody else observing whether or not there was a shadow, but it says he says whether or not he sees his shadow. I'm like,
yes,
I know this groundhog could talk.
Yes, but this with his actions, not with his words, though.
Yeah, he knows sign language or something.
Well, should we get right into it today?
Yeah, I don't have any other major news, just lots of rain here.
Well, today we're talking about a classic rom-com that I didn't realize is 20 years old, almost exactly.
I know.
Which is wild to me. But it is, of course, the film 13 Going on 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think about when, did we watch this when we were in, like, middle school or high school?
So, this is one of the rom-coms that I feel like was very popular, but I never watched it until I was a little older, not early high school age. So I think I was probably in college before I saw it for the first time.
I'm wondering if maybe I watched it before then. But we were 9 years old when it first came out. So I'm not shocked that we like didn't watch it.
Right.
You know, in 2004. But I don't. Yeah. I was just trying to remember the first time I watched it. And I know it was definitely a lot closer to 13 than I am to 30 right now.
Yeah. I know that I had not seen this until much later in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, came out April 23rd, 2004. It's crazy. That's almost 20 years.
No, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah. And it had a budget of $37 million, and then the box office made $96.5 million, which, do we know the terminology? Does box office just consider opening weekend or every?
No, it's like all the sales.
That seems kind of low.
Well, I mean, well, first of all, what's like $96 million in 2004 in today's money?
Okay. Yeah, true.
You got to think about that. So that's $160 million almost now.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But it's usually, and that's usually, like they usually specify domestic versus international. And I think the 96 is total globally. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, like considering, I mean, it made, you know, three times as much as they spent on it. So.
Yeah.
It's a good investment.
I heard that there's a lot of negative reviews about it, though.
What? I didn't.
Oh, I saw pretty commonly most people saying that if you've seen the older movie called Big with Tom Hanks, that it's essentially, like, the female version of that. And so a lot of people were like, eh, not original.
I don't know that I agree with that. Have you seen Big?
I know I've seen parts of it. I don't know if I've seen the whole thing.
It doesn't feel quite the same because when Tom Hanks becomes older in the movie Big, he like just still indulges in all of his like kid dreams. Like that's like the classic scene of the piano and him like buying all of this stuff, like all the arcade games and stuff to put into his high-rise New York apartment.
Yep. That I do remember those scenes. So I've seen most of it.
It doesn't feel the same.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what a lot of reviews that I was reading today mentioned.
Yeah, I wonder if those were current or like later reviews or when it first came out.
I don't know. Didn't get into it.
Well, I mean, like, it's people, I guess, didn't really hate it, but it seems like audiences gave it an A minus, and I mean, it has a 65% on Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't great, but it's also not like bad, you know?
Yeah.
Considering the way they rate some of things, but.
Mm-hmm. So the movie was written by, I would say, Kathy Yuspa and Josh Goldsmith, and directed by Gary Winnick.
Yes, and he also directed Bride Wars and Letters to Juliet, which Bride Wars is okay, but Letters to Juliet is one of my favorite movies for no real reason.
I like that one a lot too. I haven't seen it in a while.
Maybe we should watch that.
Yeah.
And I was wondering why he hadn't done anything after that. It turns out he'd passed away from brain cancer right after the year after Letters to Juliet came out.
Oh.
So that's why his like list of movies, I think, is a lot shorter than I was expecting based on the success of 13 Going on 30 and Letters to Juliet. It was produced by Gina Matthews, Donna Roth, and Susan Arnold, which is notable to me because it's three women who seem to be the main producers on this movie.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that until just now. You're right.
Yeah. In 2004, which, yeah, again, like, ahead of his time. And I guess fits in with the fact that it's a rom-com, but nonetheless. And then I also found that the music was by Theodore Shapiro, which I just wanted to mention because I think he did a really good job on the soundtrack.
I didn't look at what the soundtrack was, but I did notice that they played, what is that song? The same song from Freaky Friday, What I Like About You.
Oh. You know, is that one in this?
Yeah, it is. I looked at the credits.
Okay. Well, because I'm looking at the score right now on Wikipedia and it's not on now. And I'm very confused.
Well, I looked at it on the credits because I noticed it and I was like, oh, that was from the same soundtrack as Freaky Friday. And these came out the same year, I think. Or maybe Freaky Friday was 2003.
I don't know. Oh, that's the original score.
Either way. Very close.
Yeah. What I Like About You. Yeah, you're right. But it also had, like, Crazy for You and the scene that has Vienna by Billy Joel in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the classic Love is a Battlefield in there, in the sleepover scene. Like, I think those were all, like, big hits that were put well-placed in the movie. So, yeah. And it wasn't nominated for any big awards, but it was nominated for a couple of MTV Awards and People's Choice Awards. So, hats off to them.
It didn't win anything then?
No. I think Jennifer Garner won the same year for, I think, Best Hair, but it wasn't specifically in this movie. It was just, she's got really good hair. Which, fair, she does have good hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, getting into the cast, Jennifer Garner played Jenna Rink, and I was doing a little research and found out that Hilary Swank, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Renee Zellweger were also considered for the role of Jenna Rink.
Hmm.
I think Hilary Swank would have been a good one, but I don't know that I would have thought the other two would have been as good.
Are they? Oh, yeah, they're all about the same age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are all just, like, big rom-com stars. I don't think I would have liked Renee Zellweger in this. Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow, but I think my view of her is just overall tainted with this whole goop nonsense that she's gotten into. I did look this up, though. It was interesting to me that Jennifer Garner was 32 when the movie came out, because I don't know if I'm just tainted by things that I read about women in Hollywood, but that seems like kind of old. And I feel like if it were made today, they would probably cast a younger actress to play a 30-year-old than an actual 30-year-old.
Right. Yep. Yep. And then Mark Lowe played Matt, or Maddie. Which I also did. I did not like her calling him Maddie when she was in her 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that. Having a pet name for somebody that you haven't talked to since high school. Weird.
Yeah, I guess that is weird. Not necessarily that she called him Maddie, but just that she like hadn't spoken to him in 13 years or whatever and was calling him Maddie.
Well, and
17 years.
If you say it, it would be in kind of like a flirty way. Like, But we'll get into it. I had some issues with Jenna Rink anyway. But I was reading an article on People Magazine that said that Jennifer Garner said Mark Ruffalo almost quit the movie because of the Thriller dance scene. He was so, like, not into it and out of his comfort zone that he was on the verge of quitting.
Huh.
And it also took him, like, 3 hours to learn the dance routine. but Jennifer Garner and Judy Greer grew up as dancers, and it took them like 20 minutes to learn it. And so he was like just really out of his element.
Melissa, I mean, he did a good job. Don't be so sad, Mark.
I honestly don't remember anything about how he looked during that scene, so he didn't have anything to worry about.
Oh, yeah. So then, he couldn't have been bad.
Yeah. And also, Mark Ruffalo just got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame last Thursday. And Jennifer Garner was there to celebrate it with him.
Aw, that's cute. I like that they're still friends.
Yeah. And so then Judy Greer played Lucy Wyman. Mm-hmm. She looks familiar, but I can't think of what else I know her from.
She's in 27 Dresses.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, she like constantly plays like the best friend who sometimes is like got a... I think that oftentimes she's supposed to be viewed as like sort of the shittier best friend. Mm. And like, I think that she definitely seems like she has an attitude issue in 27 Dresses, which is fine by me. But I think she's like often like the best friend in rom-coms.
Yeah, she gets typecast a lot then.
Yeah. And then there was, of course, Andy Serkis as Richard Neeland, which is just funny that he played this boss at a fashion magazine, and then he also voices Gollum in Lord of the Rings. The man's got range.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then I just thought that an underrated or maybe an often unnoticed role that I really liked was Marcia DeBonis as Arlene, Jenna Rink's assistant.
Yeah, I really liked her too. She was probably, I don't know, she had a very small role, but she was one of my favorites.
Yeah, she acted very well with like her face and her reaction to stuff and like playing like a meek woman who's used to her boss like kind of beating down on her a lot. Mm-hmm. I think she did a good job. So hats off to you, ma'am.
Yeah. All right. Give us a quick summary of 13 on 30.
Well, I think everyone knows the story, but 13-year-old Jenna Rink has few priorities: to become one of the popular girls and to kiss the cutest boy. After a prank ruins her birthday party, she just wishes to be 30, flirty, and thriving as wishing dust from her best friend Maddie's present falls all over her. She wakes up with all... Maddie is no longer her best friend. She's no longer speaking to her parents. She's cheating on her hockey player boyfriend and stealing from her high-powered job. Can she get her life back on track before all hope is lost?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And I think, as we get into this, I think that you need to be a little bit more understanding that this was a 13-year-old who woke up as a 30-year-old one day. I think that we should preface this conversation with that.
I mean, I can't imagine what I would do if I woke up as I am now, but yesterday I was my 13-year-old self or 12.
Man, it would be wild. Like from the 8th grade to now, there's so many changes I've made as a person.
We haven't even performed the YMCA yet.
True. Classic talent show.
Yeah. They just had the talent show not long ago, I think.
Oh, did they? That's funny.
Yeah. So
they did.
To start out with Jenna as a teenager, I want to know how you think she made the jump from being the laughing stock at her birthday party to the leader of the six chicks. Like, how does somebody who goes from a loser turn to the leader? How did she make that jump?
I think she probably just changed a lot of what she was doing. So I think she probably like stopped talking to Manny and hanging out with him at all. Mm-hmm. And probably started being a lot more of a bully, I would think, around school. Like, I think that she probably could have just changed her attitude in general and just become what I think would be a worse version of herself.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know how the six chicks after that birthday party, she must have run after them or something, because I don't see how they would have had a change of heart and been like, oh, we're sorry, we want you to now be in our group for real, and then turn out to be the leader.
Yeah, well, I think it probably took some time, I would imagine.
No, not an overnight thing, but
no. Yeah. And she probably did help them a lot with their homework. Like, I'm sure that they used her in a lot of ways, and then she ended up as the leader.
Yeah, for sure. She might have held that power over them, too. Like, if she wanted them to do something, like, well, I'm not going to do your homework if you don't do this for me.
Mm-hmm. Who got kicked out of the six chicks, do you think? Oh. Or did they become the seven chicks?
As Maddie said, that just doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. Maddie was right about that. I liked Maddie. I'm surprised you didn't like him.
I only didn't like Mark Ruffalo. I thought he was a little bit boring. And just the way that he portrayed the character. Because it seemed like, as a kid, Maddie is, like, kind of quirky. He plays whatever that thing was, the Casio. You know, the little piano thing.
The little electric keyboard.
Yeah, he plays the little electric keyboard. He writes songs. He builds Jenna stuff. Like, he's kind of quirky, but not, like, boring. But I just thought Mark Ruffalo was quiet, didn't really, like, make a whole lot of sudden movements. And I thought he just played the character kind of in a boring way when his teenage self was not boring.
Well, I think we probably missed a lot of his development. Like, he lost his best friend essentially after that day, right?
Yeah.
And so I imagine that probably affected his personality a lot, and he became a lot more withdrawn.
Yeah.
But I also saw him more, I guess, as like a softer, gentler guy who just wanted sort of like a quiet life, not like too much from anyone or anything. So I didn't seem as boring, I guess, just so much as like a nice, quiet guy.
Yeah, I think he was. I don't think he was like bad in any way. Definitely like more reserved.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to it, but I think he did not set very good boundaries with Jenna either. Which, shame on you, Maddie.
Well, yeah, I think neither of them handled that well. He had a fiance and Jenna knew that. And I get that she was having a hard time accepting how much her life had changed. But mm-hmm. I also think that he definitely should not have put himself in all of those situations. Like,
agree.
Getting the candy from the gas station and going and swinging is fine. But then like the rolling over on the ground and kissing, like that was clearly way too close. You had somebody, if you were starting to feel feelings with somebody else, you either needed to cut it off or talk to your fiance about it and be like, hey, maybe we shouldn't get married.
Yeah. And then Jenna also, I didn't think her character was very great either. Like, yeah, it's a shock to hear that he's engaged, but then to introduce the fiance to your own boyfriend as just his friend is like kind of a slap in the face to the fiance. And the fiance was so nice and never gave off any red flags or anything, which made Jenna look worse.
I don't know. I think it was a little questionable that she wanted Maddie. She was, what'd she say? It felt dismissive of his career to be like, you could take pictures from anywhere. Just move to Chicago, you know, like, let's just go. So to me, that was like a small red flag, but she wasn't like outwardly that mean to anyone really in that situation.
She was really nice to Jenna, who just like showed up out of nowhere into Matt's life again. And like never questioned what he was doing or why they were spending time together or anything like that. I don't know. I think having a job like photography, you really can do that anywhere, or there's some jobs that you can't do from anywhere. So I didn't really read much into that comment.
Sure. But I think that the way she said it wasn't nice. Like, you can take your pictures anywhere. I think it's more like, I think that we could find a place for you in Chicago, and not like, come on, like your job's not that important. Yeah. I guess that's the vibe it gave to me.
Yeah. So before we move on from the fiance, before we got to Jenna finding out he had a fiance, she was like, oh, Maddie, come to this party tonight. I'm riding in a limo. And he's like, absolutely not. Like, that's not my scene. But then he showed up to the party. And for one song, why do you think he showed up?
I think he showed up because he was a little bit curious about why Jenna was all of a sudden back in his life and talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that the curiosity probably would have gotten better to me too if, like, say, one of our friends from middle school, like, oh my God, like, I miss you guys so much. I can't believe everything's changed. And then asked us to go to a party. Like, I think I might have done the same thing in his situation.
Actually, yeah, now that you're phrasing it like that, I probably would have the curiosity too in that situation.
Yeah, and I definitely think that's what drove him. Now, why he only stayed for one song, that I don't get.
Yeah. What did you think of the iconic dress that she wears when she's doing the Thriller dance? I am not a fan of it.
Yeah, but it is very early 2000s.
Yes, and it's very iconic. Like, everybody knows that that's the 13 going on 30 dress.
Yeah, but
I just feel like it wasn't shaped well for her, especially in the top.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
And I didn't like all of the colors. I like to dress colorfully and bright, but that was too much for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one who doesn't really like it. I know it's iconic, but no.
I actually do have another favorite outfit, though. Do you remember her, like, all green, sort of, like, very tight outfit and the two chopsticks and the two buns that she had?
Yeah.
I really liked that outfit. I thought she was rocking that one.
There was one she was wearing that was, like, a yellow skirt with kind of a floral-ish white shirt. I liked that one the best.
Oh, yeah. That one's good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. If any of her outfits should get acknowledgement, it really just shouldn't be that one.
Yeah.
But I guess it's the combination of, like, the Thriller scene and the dress that really makes it stand out.
Yeah.
It's so funny, though, when she asks for a pina colada and she's, like, not virgin.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how a 13-year-old would handle all of a sudden being able to drink like that and, like, experiencing getting drunk for the first time.
Yeah, I don't know.
A wild ride for her, I'm sure.
Yeah, but she had a limo ride home, so.
That's true.
Driving.
She was being responsible.
Yeah. So Jenna's job is pretty high profile at this, is it a fashion magazine or just a, like, lifestyle magazine? It's fashion, right?
I'm pretty sure it's a fashion magazine.
Either way, it doesn't really matter. It's called Poise. And then they
have
Sparkle, which is the competitor who keeps stealing all the ideas, supposedly. I don't think I caught it before when I watched this, but this time I caught it where the letters in Jenna's desk from Sparkle that have been previously opened from before she woke up and didn't realize that she's 30 now. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that she was being shady and selling information to Sparkle?
Yeah, and that was the whole confrontation with Judy Greer's character when she, like, came in and sort of stole that role away from her. So essentially, Jenna was selling all of the ideas for the magazines to the competitor in exchange for, like, if she grew their readership to a certain number, they would make her editor-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she was...
Her boss, Richard, did.
Pardon?
So that was essentially, and, like, editor-in-chief is what Richard, her boss, was. So, like,
yes. She
wanted to be the editor-in-chief at the opposing company. Got it.
Yes, yes. Which, yeah. Like, I don't, you hate a lot the Jenna that we see in the movie, but I think that the Jenna who was from, like, age 13 to 30 was a lot worse.
Yeah.
And all the backstabbing she did there.
Yeah, it seems like she grew up to be kind of a shady person. And
not kind of, Annie. She's having an affair with a married co-worker's husband.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. Yeah, she is shady.
Yeah.
She's not a very good person. But also, how did she not get fired for selling all the ideas to Sparkle? Or selling out Poise, essentially. Like, I wonder why Judy Greer's character didn't go to their boss and say, here's the proof, Jenna's been the one going behind our backs, you should fire her, and then also she would take that position.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think that Judy Greer's character cared that much, I guess.
Yeah.
To me, it was just that she was more focused on actually getting the editor-in-chief job at Sparkle, which, also a horrible name for a magazine. Did I already say that?
No. Sounds like paper towels.
Yeah. Oh, maybe is that why I hate it? When did the paper towel brand start?
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, I did not like that name.
Yeah.
What did you think of the big ideas for the redesign? So Judy Greer's and then also Jenna's ideas for the redesign for Poise.
What was the friend's name? I don't even remember.
Well, it's Lucy. Lucy Wyman.
Lucy's was so weird. It was like, what was it, like getting drunk on fashion or something like that? Like, related around drugs and drinking and
taking heroin chic to the next level.
Yeah, I was like, I watched that and was like, what the heck was she thinking putting this together?
She's taking the very dark route. That would have been a very bad idea to have a magazine that looked like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at that point they would have been embracing like a grunge emo style.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
I hated it. I liked Jenna's redesign. I liked her idea to take it and like see how, you know, like your common women are just as beautiful and interesting as all of these models.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too.
My other question for you, you know, there's a lot of talk, and Jenna asked her parents at one point, you know, like, if you could ever go back knowing what you know now, would you do it? And would you still like make the same mistakes? And her mom says at the time, no, I would not go back and change anything because I learned from all my mistakes and how to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would you feel about it? Would you wish to go back to being a teenager and relive your life knowing how it's turned out so far?
Absolutely not.
Me no. too.
No, live and learn. And
well, I believe that essentially there's no point in like looking back and having those sort of like urges and wishes. Like, you just have to keep going forward. You have to learn from your mistakes. So I'm on the same wavelength as Jenna's parents.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely times when I was like, oh, I just want to get through high school. I'm so over this stage of life. I just want to move on to the college phase of life and do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember having that feeling a lot, especially senior year of high school, just wanting to have a change. But did you not have that?
No, I was pretty happy senior year of high school.
I'm not saying I was unhappy. I was just ready for something different. Like, I was so bored of the day-to-day routine of going to school 5 days a week and then coming home and doing homework until midnight or late. Yeah.
Fair.
Like, there's got to be more to life than just this.
So did you have the same wishes as Jenna's character, you know, like getting a good high-powered job, being popular, skipping ahead to being an adult? Like, you were ready for all of that?
I don't think I was thinking so much about like having a job and having a husband and having a family and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I was like looking in the immediate future, like, what is the very next step I'm getting to, because that's where I want to be. So, like, I think, well, I was just like, I just want to make it to the college phase and see what that's about.
Yeah.
I wasn't, what job do I want to have and any of that stuff.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
As we've said before, we don't really dream of labor, you know?
Right. Oh. So my last question is around, or maybe thought, not necessarily a question, is around Jenna showing up to the wedding to confront Matt about not marrying her. Mm-hmm. I thought this was so self-centered, and Jenna's an asshole for doing that because she hadn't seen him in 15 years. Why would she assume that he should have to marry her now when they literally have had no contact for this long?
I don't think it was, I understand that, but I don't think it was so much as like, you need to marry me now, so much as like, why are you getting married when we just had like this week where we got super close and we kissed and like there was something between us. How can you just like turn around and get married to somebody else?
Yeah. And then he says like, hello, I've moved on. Like, it's been 15 years. Like, I have a fiance that I love and all that. I just, the whole idea of Jenna showing up on that day, like, he's clearly made a choice that he wants to go through with this wedding. And if he ends up not going through with it, like, I'm sure you'll hear about it later, but like, that's his and the fiance's day. She does not need to be there.
That's fair. I guess to me, I would maybe not disrupt the wedding. I wish she could have done it a little bit before, but I guess she was on a bit of a time crunch where she could just be like, are you sure? Because we did just have this moment. But yeah, absolutely insane to think that Matt would automatically leave his fiance like that. To me, it would have made a lot more sense realistically if we continued in that timeline for Matt to like talk to his fiance and say, I just had a moment with somebody else and I just think that we need to take a step back and like postpone for a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that would be the responsible thing to do.
Yeah. What did you think of, so of course they do end up going back in time and Maddie and Jenna end up together. Mm-hmm. What did you think of her wedding dress and sort of their future together?
What did I think of her wedding dress?
And sort of like their marriage and moving into the house and the way they've showed their future together.
I mean, I saw it coming, I guess.
Yeah. I think I liked the wedding dress, but I think the thing that bothered me is that younger Jenna had been so career focused, and then we didn't get to see any aspect of her job after that, after we jumped back into the future. And I just would have liked to see that she still had some sort of priority to her job, given how important it was to her. When I guess, I mean, when you're 13, you don't really know what your priority should be, but
yeah.
It seemed odd to me that since it becomes such an important part of her first life, that it would at least be something that they might show in the second one.
Yeah. And the time jump back to reality when they actually do get married, that was like the last, what, 90 seconds of the movie? Maybe not even that long. So I was like, oh, wow, they really didn't expand on this at all.
No. Oh, actually, there was one other thing I wanted to say, which is just that I think that the sleepover scene is a really big iconic scene for people in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, watching it now as an almost 30-year-old, I can't imagine how inappropriate it would be to have a sleepover with a 13-year-old.
Yeah, when I was watching that scene, I was like, where is this girl's parents?
Yeah, like, sure, she's her neighbor, but, like, come on.
Apparently, they've never spoken before, so why is this 30-year-old woman in here with a bunch of teenage girls?
Yeah, so weird.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, but also I was like, where is that girl's parents?
Yeah, that's not right. This should not be happening.
Yeah.
All right, are we ready to rate?
Yep, I think that's all of my notes.
Out of 5 packets of wishing dust, how many do you give this?
I'm going to give this one 3.7.
All right. Wishing dust. That's strong.
It's okay. Like, I get why it's an iconic rom-com movie, but it's not my favorite rom-com movie.
That's fair. Yeah, I think I'd probably rate it somewhat similar, but probably a little lower, actually. Maybe like a 3.4.
Okay. I thought you would have stayed higher than me.
I don't know. I guess I didn't really get the butterflies from this that I do from, like, a lot of other movies, like The Notebook or About Time, you know?
Yeah. Okay, I would like to modify my rating.
Okay.
I'm going to go 3.5, middle of the road.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad. I enjoyed watching it, but it's just not my favorite rom-com.
Yeah, it's just not the best. I do like that it launched Jennifer Garner's rom-com career, I think. This was, like, the first one she was in, so good for that, at least.
Yeah, she played the character well. I just didn't like Jenna's character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess our book for the month will be Frankenstein, A Modern Prometheus by Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next short story will be Club Zeus in A Wayland by Ramona Ozbell.
Yep.
I think that's it.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram or send us an email at marianneandwandapodcast@gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.